Okay, you're very welcome back to the 9 till noon show. Good morning, if you're just after joining us. You missed an interesting first hour. Right, to some of your comments. Morning. What age has your child to be before they can get their rashes on Wednesday? Thank you. Well, I can tell you that there's no age limit, but it is to remind us to fast. So perhaps First Communion age is suitable, but it's a parent's choice, a guardian's choice. But there is no age limit as such. Greg, are you for real? You see no problem with the government spending €800,000 on transporting pets from Ukraine. Buttons, you say. It's my buttons and yours. Now, what? I get what you're saying, right? Maybe I was a bit flippant in what I was saying. But the cost of whether people agreed with it or not, or agreed with it at the time but no longer, the cost of bringing Ukrainians here and housing them is billions upon billions. My point being is, at the time, if the government went to the public and said, look, we're going to be spending, you know, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 billion on, I don't know exactly what the figure is, but let's just say that we're going to spend like 3 or 4 billion in a couple of years in taking Ukrainians. This is at the start, taking Ukrainians over to Ireland, housing them, keeping them safe from the war. Now, what about us if we also spent another €800,000 and it means that their dogs and cats wouldn't be left behind them? What would the population had said back then? Maybe they would have said, are you serious? Let them leave the dogs and cats behind them. Or would they have said, right, in the widest scale of things, an extra €800,000. My flippancy and reference to buttons actually comes a little bit from frustration, not on that issue, but generally speaking, in that it just seems that money is like confetti. This money tree that we were told never existed does exist. So I take your point. Am I happy €800,000 is being spent in this area? I mean, obviously, there's better places it can be spent, but I take your point. And we're going to read your message on, by the way, just so you don't think that I'm in any way editorialising what you've got to say. But anyway, in that case, Miss O'Keefe's package from RTE was even smaller buttons. Maybe we should not bother about anything if it's less than a few million. That appears to be your opinion. I don't understand your logic. What people are complaining about is the perceived manner in which some people are being treated differently to others. People are waiting for years to get redress for houses falling down around them, yet Ukrainians and other immigrants can apply to have their pets brought to Ireland, and the money is there right away. This is what is causing divide and dissent in our country. Believe me, if this doesn't stop, I'm afraid it will not end well. The government would need to do something before it's too late. And thank you for your comment. Do I think it's okay? I don't think it's okay, but it just in the wider scale of things. Anyway, so an off-the-cuff remark. You've had your say too, so hopefully you feel heard. I read yesterday that Ms. O'Keefe received an exit package of €45,000. The report said that she did not qualify for this payment. And it, no, sorry, it's 450,000. And it hadn't been approved by the board of directors. I worked out that it took 2,812 license fee payers for the year to make up that payment. There's no mention of the current DG looking to get that money recovered or getting the Gardaí to investigate if a crime was committed with public money. I've always paid my TV license, but I can clearly see why the public are deciding that enough is enough and not paying. I can't see a court being very harsh in view of recent Oireachtas revelations. Well, you remember that judge back in the day? The industrial-military complex runs the US. It's irrelevant who the president is. Anyone who thinks different is much mistaken. Greg, don't see why you are discussing politics in a country that's supporting the killing of 8,000 children. Then I suppose then the next debate is, you know, what's a child and so on and so forth. I know there was a protest, which we weren't given advance notice of, a protest outside Letterkenny University Hospital on the issue I believe you're referencing yesterday. Okay, why can't the developer of the houses in Milford not produce audited accounts to the council? Maybe they do, I don't know. On the houses, why were there not contracts signed before they were built? Shows the council and government could not run a hen house. Too late closing the door when the horses bolted. Well, that appears to have changed now. I think it was as much to protect the taxpayer as it was the contractor that both parties could pull out if they need be. How has the price gone up if these houses were built in 2018? Which is the question I was putting to Declan there, who's not a spokesperson for the developer, by the way. But I mean, when you talk about these issues, you have to have a robust debate, don't you? It's believed the housing body is pulled out, and that's the issue, says another caller. Well, at this point, maybe they haven't. I don't know. Right. Okay. Been really, really busy. We're going to take a break and come back with more of your comments. On to more lighter stuff now, if that's okay. And the crowbar debate at the top of the show. Lee Gooch produced what appears to be an incredibly long nail. Now, I'm being a little bit facetious there. Of course, it's not a long nail. And the debate was it a crowbar? It seems it is a crowbar. But there's different views out there saying it isn't. And one says, Greg, let me see. Greg, it's also called a Jimmy bar. Okay, very good. Greg, a crowbar is about 5 foot tall straight, and a nail bar can be anywhere between 1 and 3 foot long with a bend on the top of it. That comes in from Eunan. Well, that description, Eunan, matches his crowbar. Good morning, Greg. You've never seen a crowbar before. It was a very common piece of tool within the construction industry. Kind regards. Of course it did. I worked on building sites for 3 or 4 years, and it was tough. I saw how tough it was. But even if I had saw this thing, if I had seen it, would I have known a crowbar? Probably not. Greg, you're talking about a nail bar. Big slice of humble pie for Greg, indeed. Well, I'm starving. I'll eat anything. All right, thanks very much for that. Nikita Gallaghan, or Gallaghan? I'll start that again. Nikita Gallaghan and Porrick getting married today in Drumkeen. Best wishes from Marie and Emmett. Have a lovely day, folks. We're also looking for your family debates, because me and Gooch, we're like family now at this stage, certainly radio family, and we were debating what is a nail bar, a crowbar, a Jimmy bar, whatever it might be. And listen, there's no doubt about it, Lee's right, but anyway, say nothing. And then we were wondering if there's any debates in your house that we can help resolve, you know, things that you disagree on across the dinner table, in front of the telly, whatever it might be. Family debates here. There's an ongoing tie in our house as to what swipe right means. I say it means you swipe a photograph from left to right. My family say you swipe from right to left. I would like to settle this argument, as I may need it if I'm ever on Tinder. Swipe right. Wow, that's a goodie. All right, swipe right then. Let's sort this one out for them. Does that mean you swipe the photograph from left to right? Or I'm going to say it has to be left. You swipe from right to left. No, that can't be swipe right. No, it has to be. I'm afraid I'm going to go with your family here. You swipe a photograph from left to right. No, you're right. Sorry, your family's wrong. I'm backing you on that one. Anyone want to add to that? Does anyone know why smokeless coal seems to have a lot of smoke when you first light the fire? Does this mean smokeless coal is not actually smokeless and has a percentage of smoke in it? Or is my understanding of the word smokeless wrong? We argue about this all the time, but no one has come up with the answer. Is it possible the smoke is coming off your fire lighters and not actually the coal? Or kindling, or whatever you might put under the smokeless coal. Is there any smoke? This is another family debate we're going to sort out here, folks. I don't know the answer to this one, but does smokeless coal smoke initially when you light it, or is it the accelerant, i.e. the fire lighter or the wood under the smokeless coal that's creating the smoke? And once it, of course, is expired, the smoke is gone. Another family debate. Settle those for us. Keep them coming in. We want love, peace and harmony for the rest of this week heading into the weekend. So during the COVID pandemic, you'd remember a lot of money was spent by government to sort of say to nurses around the country, people working in medicine, come home. Your country needs you effectively during that crisis because of the shortages. We're seeing the same again now with the construction, the amount of construction workers that we need. There's another call for people to come home and help build the country up. Your country needs you as such. These can be proved quite controversial. Right, so we're joined on the programme now by Anne-Marie. Anne-Marie, thank you very much indeed for joining us. It's lovely to speak to you.
Hey there, Greg. Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing good. Right, so, I mean, you know, I'm not sure if you answered a government call to come home, but you certainly did come home. Talk to us a little bit about your story and your experience, Anne-Marie, because I think it's a really important point that you're making here.
Yeah, no problem, Greg. Well, to be honest, what triggered me to make this call was basically, as you just mentioned, the different articles and the politicians calling for everyone to return home to help build the country. Well, to be honest, back in July 22, I did return home. Myself and my family were living in South London. Due to a family death, my dad passed away. We ended up coming home to support mum and to, I guess, help carry on the family business. So me and the family up sticks basically sort of overnight, if I'm being honest, and returned back to Mallon in North Inishowen. Obviously, we decided to stay with three young kids. One of the first things I had to do was get the kids sorted in school. So basically, one of the first questions on the form was, who is your kid's GP? So I thought, okay, right, I need to reach out to all the local practices and try and get a doctor for the kids. So at the time, this was probably August, September, during the summer of 22, reached out to every GP practice in Inishowen, well, certainly North Inishowen, and was told, I'm sorry, we've got no capacity at the minute. We can't take you on. Can you phone back in a month or two? So I thought, no problem, thinking naively, I'll phone back in a month or two. I'm sure there'll be maybe a free space. Phone back in a month or two, still no place. Another month or two, still no place. Roll forward a year later. This is July 23. Still no GP places. Still no room for myself, my husband, or the kids and any of the GPs. Now, this is five or six GPs I phoned in the North Inishowen area. Obviously, getting a little bit frustrated. My little girl, Delta, who was starting preschool, needed to get her preschool jabs. Of course, I couldn't get them anywhere in Inishowen. So, lo and behold, as much, believe it or not, I had to fly myself and Delta back to London to get her preschool jabs because nobody would take us on in Inishowen. So obviously getting quite frustrated and then phoning the HSE, I was told.
But just before you get to that, Anne-Marie, because say for instance, over that period, hopefully no one did, but what would you do in that situation if one of the children needed an antibiotic or if you or your partner felt unwell? Is there any options when you don't actually have your own GP in that situation?
Well, Greg, that did actually happen. One of the kids had an ear infection.
Yeah.
And so I had, again, went round every practice saying, listen, this was at maybe 8 or 9 at a school morning. The kid was screaming, crying with pain. It was obviously, the kid had an infection. And they needed an antibiotic. So, again, phoning round all the practices. And what I got told was, I'm sorry, we cannot see you. We advise you to go to Letterkenny A&E. Wow. And I was like, you're telling me to take a kid who's got an ear infection, it's neither an accident or an emergency, to go up from Mallon to Letterkenny to sit for God knows how long because of an ear infection. And the advice was just a bit crazy, really. But we ended up, we obviously waited and ended up going to see Now Doc that evening. And but at least the kids, you know, we got seen by one of the GPs in Now Doc that evening.
Right. Okay. So, thanks for that. That makes that was really worth talking about because that's a talks to probably some of the reason as to why there's so much pressure on Letterkenny University Hospital. So then, after all of this frustration, you start you continue your engagement then with the HSC. So pick it up from there, Anne-Marie, if you don't mind.
Yeah. So I was advised then from the HSC that actually, if you are eligible for a medical card as such, once you have refusal from three or more GP practices, that they will assign you a GP.
Mm-hmm.
Now, unfortunately, myself and my husband aren't eligible, but with the kids being under eight, at the time the scheme was for under sixes, had free medical care, but then that got extended to under eights late last summer. So I was told then that just to present a letter of refusal, basically, to the HSC, and they would assign a GP. So finally, after probably 3 or 4 months, because it's now October 23, the three kids finally got assigned a GP. So I thought, great, at least the kids are sorted. Me and my husband will deal with it for the moment. But thankfully, the kids haven't been ill. We hadn't needed to see a GP until the 1st of February, so this was 2 weeks ago. One of the kids was sick one morning, so, you know, I phoned up the GP practice that is assigned to the kids and asked, could I make an appointment? The response I got from the GP practice was, I'm sorry, we haven't heard of your kid. We are full capacity. We cannot see you. I said, well, I have a GP visit card in my hand. this is the doctor that's been assigned to the kids, so can you check again? They come back and said, we haven't accepted your child. We don't have capacity. We cannot see you.
So just at that point, before you move on again, Anne-Marie, at that point, did they not say, well, listen, we don't have you on record, but obviously you've a sick child in the house. Bring them in and we'll have a quick look at them and then we'll sort it out down the line. Like, was there no... Was it not... Like, there was no offer of...
Greg, I got told in no uncertain circumstances, we cannot see your child. Like, it was repeated multiple times. We cannot see your child. Wow. We just don't have... we just don't have the capacity.
Right. Okay, and so there ensued, I presume, a three-way between you, the HSE, and the GP's practice.
Exactly. So over the past 2 weeks, there has been a ping pong between every other day, me phoning the GP saying, okay, the HSE has told me, and the HSE words were, the doctor as assigned to your child has a duty of care to see your child. Mm-hmm. And the GP practice, the response was, no, we do not have capacity. The GP was assigned incorrectly. That we cannot see your child. So as you can imagine, I've been phoning the HSE, then phoning the GP, going back to the HSE. It's been ridiculous the past 2 weeks, Greg.
But it's also it depends on your personality too, Anne-Marie, but it actually really kind of makes it awkward if the GP's practice is actually forced to see your children. You know, ringing them up or landing at the surgery, like, kind of, it puts you in a bit of a sticky
wicket.
They're
not going to want to see me.
You know, as if, oh, there's the problem.
Yeah.
You know, like, okay. Now, that's still ongoing. But what about you and your husband then? Because, I mean, obviously, thankfully, it seems like you haven't really needed any medical assistance in the last close on 2 years, let's not forget. But you're still, neither of the two, you have a G. Yeah. If he wants to go, or you want to go and get your bloods done, or your blood pressure checked or monitored, or a 24-hour... you know, blood pressure monitor or something like that. You have no outlet for that at all, you and him.
Greg, we have absolutely no access to medical in Donegal. So as I mentioned, when I phoned the HSE, they had said that, well, if you were eligible for a medical card, we could assign you a GP. But because you're effectively private, we cannot do anything for you. So we have no access to any doctors, no access to health checks, no access to anything at the minute, which really, really frustrated and riled me up was, you know, politicians are calling people home to build the country or rebuild the country. And they can't look after the people who are already home. The social health and infrastructure just isn't there.
Now, so, you know, also too, just in terms of what you're contributing here as well, because that's really quite important in terms of, business-wise, socially, you know, you're fully involved, intertwined and adding to the community. And yet, within that community, you can't actually access basic medical primary care.
Yeah, yeah. Not to be controversial in any way, shape or form, but like, we come home here to help a family business to keep going, employs local people. You know, we're fully involved in the community. I even got roped into, you know, the Parents Association in the school. We're hugely involved in the local GAA, willing to help out with everything. But at the minute, the social infrastructure isn't there to help us out.
There's an obvious thing here as well, and this is wherein lies the issue for a lot of people in that, you know, you're working, you're contributing. People can't work for many different reasons, and fair play, they get access to a GP and get looked after, and rightly they should. Obviously, there's an awful lot of people now have come to this country and they get access to a GP. Not that you have any issue with either of those two categories of people that I mentioned,
certainly,
but you have to feel, because it would be a perfectly normal human emotion to say, well, what's wrong with me? Why am I, why is my family so insignificant that I'm 2 years fighting, and literally fighting, not literally fighting, because that implies fisticuffs, for basic healthcare for me and my children and my partner, my husband.
Yeah, absolutely. It's nobody likes to use the word discrimination, but why are we being discriminated against? Like that's what it feels like. It's what have we done wrong? We've come home, but as I say, no help.
Yeah, I spoke to a couple. They were I don't want to use the word elderly, but they were older, but they weren't older, if you know what I mean. And he and her moved back to North Inishowen, or were going to move back to North Inishowen, and simply couldn't move back to North Inishowen because they couldn't get a GP. So that's two people that wanted to move back to Ireland, to you know, to retire to Ireland, spend their retirement money, add to the community and what have you. They literally can't move back, or couldn't move back to North Donegal because they needed the comfort or the essential service of access to a GP. That's the kind of influence on people's lives this is having.
Yeah. So I ask our politicians, what are you doing? What are they doing to help? What, you know, but I, you know, we don't get an answer. So.
And even if the HSE compels this GP's practice to take you on, there is actually still no solution for you and your partner. You still have no access to blood tests and, as I said, you know, stuff that over the last while I've nothing wrong with me as such, but over the last while, being a certain age, there's certain things you have to get checked up at now and again. I don't take it for granted, but you go to your GP and you do that. If you don't have a GP, what do you do?
I don't know the answer to that question because I keep phoning and hope that someone will, if the kids get sorted, maybe they'll let us in the door too. So almost 2 years down the line, I still have an answer to that.
All right, Anne-Marie, it's a very interesting aspect to this call on people to come home, because that's precisely what you did. Very sadly, it was due to a bereavement, but over here, keeping employment going, generating employment, but there's no room at the inn for you, the GP inn, so to speak. And I just think it's awful that you have found yourself sort of in a tete-a-tete with a local GP over just getting basic care for your children, because it's not right in a small community and everyone knows each other. You shouldn't be put in that position or be made feel like that, I don't think, anyway.
Yeah.
Okay. Listen, very interesting points, incredibly well made, Anne-Marie. Thank you so much for your time this morning.
No problem, Greg. Thank you.
All right, take care of yourself. What do you think? 086 60 25,000. Lack of GP services forces Donegal mother to head to London so that her child can access healthcare. Mary says, if the HSE assign you to a GP, they can take you on, or are supposed to, even if the GMS panel is full. But that's not the case, Mary, unfortunately. Jacqueline says, the doctor's practice in my area, which is the same area this caller was in, although it's south in Inishowen, were taking on new patients a couple of weeks ago. They still might be. Carol says, it's a disgrace. I'm glad my children are grown up. Francis, I personally think it's a disgrace, yet people coming from other countries can get a GP, no bother. Actually, this, like everything else, is full to capacity. It's really about time our government starts looking after its own people and children first. And I bet you're keeping a roof over the other people's families by providing work for them. But as far as I can see, this all goes unnoticed. I'd be in touch with the Ombudsman and voice your opinion. Plus, if you take a GP card for the said doctor, then I'd be reporting them as well. But most importantly, I hope your son is better, in better form, and you get this resolved. Another, I was just about to say this, Ukrainians all got medical cards and a spot with the local GP as soon as they were placed into hotel B&Bs. Catherine says, disgraceful, make sure we highlight this at the next election. Angela, terrible to learn this is the situation, especially when you have children who can become ill very quickly. Well, young children really get something every 6 weeks. Doesn't always require a visit to the GP, but you know. Kathleen, that's terrible. So lucky here in Aaron Moore can get an appointment at the drop of a hat. Sally says, that's the way things are now. Go to book an appointment with a doctor and they tell you it would be a day or maybe two if you're lucky before you get one. Some people wait longer than 2 days, but yes, I take it. Your point. Anne, Mary and Tia all believe it's a disgrace, as does Tracy. Not a bit wonder Letterkenny Hospital is able to cope or unable to cope with patients in the ED when some people that could be seen by a GP have no other choice but to head to the hospital if the GP won't even let people in the door. Karen says another one that believes it's a disgrace. Mary says this is terrible. Typical Ireland, don't look after their own. Adele, sure, you need to know a fortnight in advance that you're going to be sick now. It's an absolute disgrace and a shambles. And John says this country is a joke. Layers of bureaucracy getting worse all of the time. And on it goes. Thank you so much for all of your comments in relation to that. Now, the Department of Public Health North and Northwest is responding to two cases of confirmed infection and one probable case of infection of meningococcal disease in the West. Public Health were notified of the cases in early February and it concerns three teenagers. Close contacts at this point have been identified by Public Health and offered preventative treatment as appropriate. Dr. Anthony Bresson's a consultant in Public Health with the HSC and he joins us now. Anthony, good morning to you. I suppose...
Good morning, Greg.
You might outline to our listeners what meningococcal disease actually is.
Okay, meningococcus is a bacteria that in autumn, winter time, about 10% of people carry it on their throats. It can come and go, and vast majority of people, it does nothing. They don't know they have it, so they never will. But in a very, very small number, they might go on to develop more serious infections such as meningitis or sepsis, blood poisoning. Now, the numbers we get a year in this part of the BBC, five or six cases a year. So it's very, very small. And it's become smaller over the last sort of 10 years after the introduction of the Men-C meningitis vaccine and also the Men-B vaccine that came in 2016. So we don't see a lot of cases, fortunately. And obviously, as soon as someone's identified as a case, obviously they're, be it the GP or the hospital, the emergency department, they're managed and given medication. But because the close contacts, such as siblings or parents or boyfriend, girlfriend, or anybody who stayed in the house overnight, they could also be carrying the bug. So what we routinely do is give them one dose of antibiotic to get rid of that bug in the throat. And that has two effects. Number one, it gets rid of the bug in the throat, so they may not develop infection. And if the bug is gone, they can't pass it on to someone else. So it has two effects. But the risk of, usually the risk of someone else in the household getting the infection is small. And in a school setting, it's very, very small. But because we have three cases in the school in Boyle, we have to follow the normal protocol, which is offer everybody in the school, the students and the staff, medication, just to make sure we reduce any risk there is there to zero.
And what is the, and this sounds obvious, but I'll ask just because it might be useful in us understanding, what would be the purpose, Doctor, of going public with two confirmed cases and one probable case, particularly if they're in the environment?
We usually we don't go public usually with cases, but this is technically an outbreak.
Okay.
We also need, because it's midterm and everything else, kids away, staff away, we needed to get a message out. Now, the school have been phenomenally cooperative in sending out text messages and emails, but because of the situation, we didn't want the story getting legs and misinformation going out, so that's why we went out.
Excellent, understood.
Public with the two, to reassure people, to reassure staff, to reassure pupils, to reassure parents, etc., to reassure the local population, and also to encourage people to turn up today. And so far, we're a quarter of an hour into it. People did arrive early, and so far we've given medication to 70 plus people, which is a good hit rate at this hour of the day.
And just to be clear, this is down in Boyle.
It is in Boyle,
okay,
yes.
Yeah,
yes.
That just in case anyone goes, well, do I need to go somewhere? Okay. Right, so is it also useful at this point then, because I presume like anything, the earlier there is, a proper assessment or intervention, the better. So as I say, you know, this is by definition an outbreak, although a small number of cases and close contacts and others are being medicated. But I suppose it would be remiss not to sort of get the information out there for people to keep an eye out
I mean, to watch out for. I mean, people, unfortunately, even though it has become rare, it still can happen. So it's often an infection of the very young or the elderly. But any age can get it. Off form, tired, can develop a rash over the body, and the rash doesn't go away when you're pressing it. Very lethargic, I said, high temperature. And if anything like that happens, talk to your GP and they'll sort you out.
And I think the message is don't wait for that rash. It can appear. It can appear late you get a combination of the other symptoms.
Yes, obviously, kids go off and the elderly go off very quickly, get sick very quickly. Mm. So if you have a concern, don't hang around. As you said, get seen.
Okay, and with babies, if they're refusing feed, irritable, have a high-pitched cry, have a stiff body, or be floppy or unresponsive.
Yes.
And that crosses over to lots of different things. So I would hope parents or guardians, if they've seen that, they would definitely get straight to the GP in any case.
I think they would.
Okay. Dr. Breslin, thank you very much for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay, take care. Right, so just to confirm from Dr. Anthony Breslin, that is a... two cases of confirmed infection, one probable case of infection, and it's in the Boyle area, so quite some distance removed from where I'm broadcasting right now. But we're just good to clarify that, because initially it was a bit varied as to, you know, the west and northwest, and I understand that, because we noticed during the pandemic, if cases are less than, I think it was five at that time, to prevent identifying individuals for their privacy, a specific region wasn't given. But in this case, I think it's important that information is out. So we've had contact from someone who works in the GP area, just to sort of, they wanted to give us an insight as to what the situation is for GPs at the moment. But obviously, it's difficult to speak publicly. But this is confirmed, and Caroline's assured me it's a trusted and reliable assessment from someone in the GP realm that would have an understanding of this situation. And they say, the demand is exceptional on GPs at the minute. There is no mandatory nature on the GP to take them on, and especially if you do not have a medical card. GPs do have a right to stop taking patients if the practice has reached its capacity. They only have to take on a certain capacity in a year, and if they've reached that, then it is difficult. If you're refused by three GPs, then you're assigned one. But if that assigned GP has reached their capacity, then they have to find them a GP in the region. So, in other words, even if a GP is assigned to you, and they say, look, we're at full capacity here, that's by the HSC, they can then find you an alternative GP. And they conclude, which I think really is quite a damning statement, this is just more evidence that the system is broken. Let me see, in relation to the GP conversation, we're exactly the same back here in Donegal. No doctor. We don't want to go on air, but just want to say we're in the same boat. And that is fine, by the way. So you don't have to come on air. We will invite you to come on air, but that's just part of the process. That woman should do like what they do in our area where all asylum seekers are staying. They just ring 999 and the ambulance comes to do their assessment. And from there, it's either taken to hospital or not, which is not ideal. Tell that lady to throw away her passport and she'll get a GP. Another, the reality is your GP is your primary carer. Unfortunately, your first access to healthcare is a private business. We need root and branch reform and rid our health service of privatisation across the board. And other people tell me they find it hard to get a doctor's appointment. It could take 2 weeks for an appointment. It's very hard for local people who have returned home to find it hard to access services in any way. One person told me that a family friend who returned had to leave with his family to go to another country. He couldn't get access to basic services as local actual Irish who just wanted to bring his family up in his native country. And, you know, I mean, I've spoken to people on the show in the past who've had to, who've children or family members who are have particular conditions that they've had to move away or move closer to where treatment and services are available. Needed to see the doctor yesterday evening, half day in local town, closes one, now doc, not open till six, went to Letterkenny Menix and seen straight away, fabulous service if you have, of course that is a private service, isn't it? But that means there's a 5 hour window between the doctor's closing in this area and now doc being in operation. And although the government's trying to encourage construction workers back to build this country up again, with no GPs, school places, etc. available for their families, is what they're going to face. Oh my God, how promising is this? And you know, people accuse me of being cynical or anti this and anti that, and I'm genuinely not. I just see things like lots of people see things. And Do you remember about, I don't know how long ago, about 6 weeks ago, there was talk of a special package of measures that would be put into counties that had, you know, taken on more, say, for instance, more immigrants than others. Do you remember that? And I said at the time, well, what does that look like? How does that work? I mean, how would that be felt in Donegal? You know, so they say there's hundreds of thousands of euro. And that is where a little bit of my cynicism comes from, because it was announced as if, yay, Donegal, Kerry, this county, that other, you're going to share in a pot. We're going to get more nurses into GPs' practices. We're going to do this, that, and the other. But unfortunately, like at the time, I says, well, how does that look like? How is that delivered? What does that mean? How does that make a difference? And yet here we are, you know, 1-2 months on, and really we're completely in the same boat. And that announcement was carried absolutely everywhere, but there's no follow-up, no understanding. Do you get where I'm coming from? Like, it was just announced. And what does it mean? How is it implemented? If anyone has any insight as to where that money went, did it come into the county? What did it deliver? Because we were told it was coming in, because Donegal has taken a greater proportion of new arrivals than any other county has. But where is it? What happened to that announcement?